testing and evaluating federal programs earlier in the process is gaining support as the answer to systemic problems in deployments. The Defense Department and Homeland Security Department are pushing project managers to test technology or weapons systems sooner in the acquisition lifecycle. Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller is here to discuss this emerging trend. Why do they think that sooner is better in these cases, Jason?
Well, I think there's a growing belief among these two specific agencies, but it's really going more broadly across the acquisition community, that testing and earlier in the development process will actually identify those problems and let the government fix them sooner. Now, you're probably thinking here, hey, this is common sense. Of course that would happen. But, the idea of the sooner you find problems, the better it is for everyone just doesn't always come to the top.
Yes.
As Michael Gilmore, DOD's Director of Operational Test and Evaluation, has found in his 24 years in government, common sense sometimes falls short.
It's clear that testing in and of itself is not the reason programs get delayed. It's not the reason costs grow in programs. Testing in and of itself is not. The results of the testing, you bet. The results of the testing often lead program managers in the services and the acquisition authorities in OSD to try and fix the problems that the testing uncovers, which is what testing should do. So when people claim that testers are driving billions of dollars of cost into programs, the facts just simply don't support that claim. That claim is not factually based, period. That doesn't mean that there aren't people who strongly believe it's true, but it is not factually based. And in fact, the facts indicate the converse. The earlier that you test, the more information you get about the problems with the program, the sooner you'll be able to fix them and lower costs. That's what the facts support.
Now, Gilmore says the Army is one of the DoD services is learning from its past mistakes. The Army is now testing and evaluating technology much earlier in the process through something called the Network Integration Evaluation Program, the NIE. He says, for example, agencies should to develop their draft concept of operations, meaning what do the users want to get out of this? What is the end result? And they also should draft a test and evaluation plan before they even come up with requirements or even release the request for proposals. Now, this is something that you think, again, why wouldn't you do this? But
yeah,
this just doesn't happen. Now, Gilmore spoke Tuesday today about the National Defense Industry Association Test and Evaluation Conference in Washington.
An appropriate place to make comments about testing. What is the agency doing, Defense Department, doing specifically to move this back earlier in the process?
Well, actually, Gilmore recently submitted some recommendations to the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Subcommittee on Investigations as part of their effort around acquisition reforms. Now, these are the recommendations that are being submitted across DOD to Senators Carl Levin and John McCain as part of their efforts. Really, there's this dual effort going on. There's the Senate side and the House side both trying to improve the acquisition programs within DOD.
Yes.
Now, Gilmore says one major area that DOD is addressing is around how they develop requirements in the first place. Again, a long-standing problem, not just for DOD, but for every agency, how they develop requirements. He says, the requirements need to be flexible and focus on what the users need to get from the technology or system.
I think engineers and scientists need to be just as involved in generating the requirements as the operators are. Certainly the operators must be involved. The operators are the people who have been out there engaged in the fight, trying to kill the enemy so that they aren't killed, trying to prevail on the battlefield to protect our security. So the operators obviously must play a key role in generating requirements. That's not a profound observation. But engineers and scientists must as well. And for that matter, the test community should. And the test community is composed of engineers and scientists for the most part. Because we know what the problems are. We know what the physical limitations are.
Now, Gilmore says one example of this came up during the Army when they developed the requirements for the Joint Tactical Radio System that, basically they were trying to make these requirements that just weren't possible, and engineers knew they weren't possible, not like yesterday, but for decades.
Yeah.
This has to do with how radio frequency goes across different terrains.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, but the engineers weren't consulted, the requirements and were included in the RFP, and then in the end, the jitter system, as it's called, wasted something to the effect of $8 or $10 billion. Now, Gilmore says the Army and other military services, if they would just include engineers and scientists early on, other examples like the Future Combat System, these poorly performing programs would stop wasting money. They'd know it sooner, and then therefore they would be better in the back end. Mm-hmm. And in fact, one thing that's happened most recently is almost a movement in that direction. Gilmore says Admiral James Winnefeld, the vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, issued a memo in March 2013 letting military services and agencies submit a request to what they call the Joint Requirements Oversight Council, the JROC, to change program requirements if needed. Basically, yes, hey, if you realize you overreached, pull back, have it make sense. And that's where this concept of including engineers and scientists early on also means that DOD needs better qualified and more of them. Because if you're going to include them, you got to have them. Gilmore says DOD needs a technically excellent workforce to have successful projects.
Congress has granted me special hiring authority for term appointments, and I'm using it. But that is not the solution to the problem as far as I'm concerned. I know Sean Stackley is urging the Congress to grant the department special hiring authorities for scientists and engineers, and I am 100% for that. I see a need for it. I've never understood how the Department of Defense, which attempts to develop and field the most complex systems that anybody on the planet tries to get to work, can do that competently without not just a technically competent workforce, a technically excellent workforce. And I will say that we do not have today a technically excellent workforce.
Now, Gilmore says there are several reasons why they don't have that technically excellent workforce, including the difficulty in hiring these workers, the preferences for hiring workers that don't focus on technical excellence, and the overall environment that federal workers face, the pay raises and such.
I mentioned the Homeland Security Department as you came on this afternoon. We only have about a minute left, and you have more on DHS and how they're working through this at federalnewsradio.com/Jason Miller. But give me just a minute or so on how DHS is trying to do the same thing.
So there's certain things. First of all, they're bringing in the DOD model in some ways. Steve Hutchinson recently came over to DHS from DOD, and he worked with Mr. Gilmore in that office for years. So they're trying to bring in that model. The second, they've recently reorganized how they're set up across Science and Technology Directorate to deal with testing and evaluation. There's kind of a new organization of six different elements that really focus on the mission areas, whether it's Customs and Border Protection or Transportation Security. And then the other piece they've done is part of Jay Johnson's, the Secretary of Homeland Security, Unity of Effort Initiative, is they stood up last month the Joint Requirements Council. You heard me talk about the JROC for DOD. This is the same concept. The Coast Guard is leading the way. Rear Admiral Mark Butt is the chairman of that committee.